we've been talking about healing. And part of healing is recognizing that we need healing. I would say every individual at one point or another in their lives needs to discover the healing power of God upon their lives. And it may look differently, and it will look differently for each individual. Some of us have had major hurt and major pain and major tragedy in our lives, and a lot of it we can't understand and we can't fathom what actually took place. And we don't know why it happened. Others of us have gone through life and had physical pains, others psychological pains, and not understanding or comprehending all of this stuff. But God is much bigger than your problems. Did you know that? And a lot of times when we're in the midst of struggle and pain and hurt, that's what we focus on. That's not what God wants us to do. He has so much more for us. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for you being God. I thank you that I'm not God, or none of us are God, even though at times we try to reign in our lives and rule in our lives, God, and it becomes tragic at many times, Lord. God, I ask that your Spirit will lead us as we talk about your scriptures, and may your word burst forth through the reading of your scriptures and speak truth to us and move us intellectually and spiritually, Lord, just grow us up in our faith, Lord. God, many of us are in an intellectual pursuit of you when it really needs to be a match of the intellect and the heart. God, line that up for us and allow us to understand what you want to communicate to us this morning. In the name of Jesus, amen. I read this book a long time ago, during my ordination, many years ago, when I was in New York, in ministry out there, and I used to have to commute to Newark to meet with a bunch of pastors that were getting ordained, and we would go to Newark, and we would talk about all sorts of books. We had to read book after book after book, and write paper after paper after paper, get interviewed, all this crazy stuff that went on, but it was good. And this book was written many, many years ago by a guy named A.B. Simpson. And A.B. Simpson was a man of faith, and he walked by faith, and he lived by faith. And in the 1800s is when he really started doing some amazing things, in the early 1900s. And God just used him in amazing ways. He motivated missionaries to be the first missionaries to go to the Congo. And you know what they did? They packed their luggage in caskets because they thought that that was going to be the mission. They knew that God was calling them there, but they put all their belongings in a casket that was their size. And each one of them did die, but what it did was it allowed the door to be open in the Congo. We don't have the Congo anymore, but they went there and they died of malaria and a couple other different things. But God used them to have kingdom impact. And you may say, I would never do such a thing. Ask yourself this question. Who's the God of your life? And have you really received healing? Well, he talks about healing in here. And he's known for these four, it's called the fourfold gospel. And it's Christ, our Savior, our Sanctifier, our Healer, and our Coming King. That's pretty cool, right? So he's our Savior, saves us, sanctifies us, basically makes us move toward holiness. He's our Healer. He heals the brokenhearted. He heals the pain and the hurt and the anguish, all the stuff. And he's our Coming King. He's coming back. He's coming back. And we went through Daniel and talked about prophecy and all of that. And we saw that in the prophetic word. I'm going to share what divine healing is according to A.B. Simpson. It is a supernatural divine power of God infused into human bodies, renewing their strength and replacing the weakness of suffering human frames by the life and power of God. That's the first point. The second one is, it is founded not on the reason of man or the testimony of those who have been healed, but on the word of God alone. The third, it ever recognizes the will of God and bows to that in profound submission. Divine healing, this is the fourth one, divine healing is part of the redemption work of Jesus Christ. Number five, divine healing comes to us through the life of Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead in his own body. And six, it is the word of the Holy Spirit quickening the body. Divine healing comes by the grace of God, not through the work of man. Divine healing comes to us by faith. Divine healing is in accordance with all the facts of church history. And the tenth, divine healing is one of the signs of the age. I think all of us would agree that healing has been misused and misrepresented, and there's a lot of false prophets out there that are doing things that are contrary to what God would have us do. And people are following them. We know about the prosperity gospel, which says that, and there was actually a recent breakout of measles, a horrible form of measles within a megachurch of a guy that pioneered the prosperity gospel, which says that God will always heal us, and he will always prosper his people, give them money, monetary gains. And the health wealth gospel, it's also called, it's completely contrary to what the scriptures teach. Yes, God will bless us. It doesn't mean monetarily. There are people in the scriptures that were radically blessed monetarily. Solomon and David are two examples. But God doesn't necessarily do that. Would you agree with that? God may cause us wild things to happen in our life that we don't understand or comprehend, but God will allow us to grow. And you've heard the expression, God won't give you more than you can handle. Have you heard that? Wrong answer. God will give us more than we can handle, so we'll rely on him. So we'll trust him. So we'll follow him. So we'll search after him. And the issue is, when we come to this place, this crossroads in our lives, where we're either going to go toward God or go away from God because there's too much going on and we can't deal with it, God's like, come on, you can do this. You can endure this. Look at the life of Job. A number of us are going through the Bible in a year and doing it on YouVersion. On the computer. Well, we've been going through Job. Part of it's been in Job, and then there's other portions of Scripture. But Job went through tremendous anguish and pain and hurt and brokenness. And he didn't understand what God was doing in his life, and his heart was broken, and he didn't comprehend why. But you know what happened? God restored him, but didn't just restore him. God restored him far beyond doubly what he was before. What is God doing in our lives, in our families, in our hearts, in our minds? I have a number of scriptures that I want to share. We can pop them up there. The first one, here's the three. If you want to get your Bibles, flip it open. If you don't know this, we're a church that believes in the scriptures, the holy scriptures, and we get into the Bible and talk about the Bible. You may come from a church background where you didn't really open the Bible and look at it, and you may not have ever even opened the Bible. And we're all on different places in the journey, and that's all right. So you may not know where these passages are. In the New Testament, it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. So go toward the back, or yeah, the back, and open it to Mark chapter 1. And you don't know this, you may know this, some of you do. Mark is actually the first gospel. Matthew is not. Now, let's read this together. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her and took her hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. All right, stop right there. Don't go to the next one yet. I'm sorry, but that may be the funniest healing I've ever heard. Do you get it? It's strange. It's odd. But God healed her. She was super sick. But what makes it so strange and odd is immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. All right? He helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. What? The initial thought is, what? She began to wait on them. All right, it seems bizarre, doesn't it? Let me tell you, it's not bizarre, because Jesus served her, didn't he? He served her first. And she realized, this is the one I desire to serve. Do you get it? Do you get the implications and significance of that? It's powerful. And this next one, let's read this together. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. How many of you have ever seen a demonized person? Some of you have. Some of you don't want to admit it. Some of you, I hope you're not demonized. There may be people, I don't want to scare anybody, but there may be people in here that are demonized. You may go, this guy's freaking me out, man. I'm never coming back to this church. Is that really a church? Yeah. Did you know Jesus cast out many demons? The apostles cast out many demons? Did you know that? I don't know how much I want to get into this, but the whole town gathered at the door. Did you hear that? Did you read that with me? The whole town gathered at the door. Not just a couple people, the whole town. And the towns weren't huge, but the whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. There are sometimes some way Jesus doesn't heal certain people for one reason or another, but many of them are healed. Some of us aren't getting healed because what we've done is so contrary to God, and we expect him to do what we want him to do, even though we're living in a lifestyle that's contrary to him. And we say, God, you are my cosmic sugar daddy, and you're going to heal me. You're going to heal me and cleanse me, and whatever I tell you to do, you're going to do. And God's going, wake up. Wake up to the reality of who you are not. And who I am. Because I see far beyond what you see. And I love far beyond how you love. There is this agape, supernatural, spiritual love that God wants to pour out on his people. It says in the scriptures that God is love. But it also says in the scriptures we need to repent and we need to turn to him and we need to flee from the sinful lifestyle, the desires of the flesh, the sinful nature. All these things are contrary to the Spirit. But the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the living God can flow in and through us and cleanse us and get rid of all that garbage and all that debris that's compiled over the years. And we can discover this healing and this release and this department from bondage and captivity of sin. You may say, who am I to speak about healing? Who am I? I'm nobody special, believe me. But what makes us all special is that if we are in Christ, Christ is in us. We are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And that is a big deal. I'll say that again. That is a big deal. I am not the same. I'm a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. How incredible is that? We had a baptism recently, and you got to hear a number of people's testimonies. God's up to something in the hearts and the lives and the minds of God's people. God is in this region and moving, and it may not be like, we're not a mega church, but God desires to spark hearts and change lives and renew souls and allow people to discover Him fresh and anew. May we be so far out of our comfort zone that we can do nothing else but rely on God. Yeah, I just said that. And there's some of us that are sitting here and standing here that may be so far removed from our comfort zone that we don't know the next way to turn, the next place to turn. This next passage here, it lines up right with the other passage. Now, Jesus healed, right? Now, you go to the book of Acts. You go to Acts 5, 12 through 16, and we discover that Jesus healed in Mark. And then this passage is very similar to that. And the apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade, or it's called Solomon's porch, Solomon's... Anyway, it's a place... I wish I had a picture of the temple, because the colonnade is basically a place where people gathered and talked in community, and they had an overhang, so it was a covered area. So they gathered in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more of them and women believed in the Lord and were added to their numbers. Did you hear that? Were added to their numbers. Now, that may sound confusing. I want to explain this a little bit because we've got to go back to Acts 4. If you're in your Bible, go to Acts 4, 29 through 30. Acts 4, 29 through 30. Now, Peter and John had just been made captive by the Sanhedrin because they were speaking the word of God. And in Acts chapter 4, they finally get released. And as they got released, in 29, they start praying. And they start praying and praying. They don't just pray simple prayers like some of us pray. They pray bold prayers, bold, powerful prayers that moved and shaked. The prayers actually shaked. It shaked the home. It shaked the home. It shaked it. And when that house got shaken, the Spirit moved. And it says here, in this particular instance, you see, in 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people. All right, so they went back to the believers, the community of faith. And then we jump all the way down to 29. They're praying. The believers are praying. They're gathered together. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servant to speak. Their threats. He's talking about the Sanhedrin, the religious rulers of the day. He was speaking about the religious, you heard me, the religious rulers of the day. Did you know Jesus spoke against the religious leaders of the day? I often think, what would he do with me? Would I be doing things contrary to him? He spoke against the religious leaders of the day. Am I being religious? Or am I in an intimate personal relationship with Jesus? Because there's a huge difference. There's a lot of people that say, I'm not very religious. And I say this in response, neither am I. And they don't know what to say. If we are religious people, we basically put rules and regulations and all this other stuff before the relationship element. Now, Lord, consider there are threats and enable your servant to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, ready, here it is. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God, what? Boldly. Has that ever happened to you? May we be a community of faith that things like this happen regularly, that God's Spirit is poured out so heavily upon us that we can't help but be in awe and amazement and of His splendor and glory and beauty. May we love the unlovable and reach out to those that no one else will reach out to. May we be different. May we live in the world and not of it. And may we discover the powerful healing of God in our lives. Because the apostles performed many signs and wonders. Why did they perform signs and wonders? Anybody? I just read it. Because they prayed. They prayed for it to come. They prayed faithfully that miraculous signs and wonders, they would be able to perform them for God's glory. And guess what? God showed up big time. And God will show up big time in our individual lives and our corporate lives. As a result, people brought the sick into the street. Go back, Micah. Because I got to... I have so much to talk about. I'm trying to slim it down. Sorry. In 5:13, I got to explain this because that passage is kind of confusing. In 5:13, it says none of the rest dared join them. Like none of the people dared to join with them. Some believe them to be the whole church in verse 13, and understand they in verse 12 as referring to all the believers. Others understand them to be the apostles in verse 13, and understand they in verse 12 to refer to the apostles as well. The Greek grammar allows for either interpretation. The first interpretation would show that unbelievers were afraid to attach themselves to the church unless they were truly converted. The second interpretation would show the unique authority and miraculous power of the apostles. Let's keep reading. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns and around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits. And all of... Oh, do you hear this? What's that? Everybody say this last part together. I didn't even hear you. What? All of them are healed. You're thinking, I know you're thinking this. Some of you are. On beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on them, on some of them as he passed by. What? What does that even mean? So Peter's shadow would fall on them? All right. I'm gonna share what that means. Peter was so filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is the same guy that denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." And now look at him. He's a superstar. All right? Jesus is using him in powerful ways because he realized that he needed to surrender his life to Jesus and that Jesus really is the Messiah. Notice I didn't say was, because he still is. Have you ever been that filled with the Spirit? When people even walk by your shadow, they received healing? I want that God, you know, for his glory, right? The final passage I want to share comes from Acts 19, 11 through 12. And a number of years ago, there was a televangelist. And I'm going to tell you what he did after I read this passage. All right? God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. Now, Paul is the apostle. He wrote 40% of the New Testament. And so Paul was an apostle. He didn't walk with Jesus like the other apostles, but he was confronted with Jesus when he was on the road, and he got flung off his horse, and he went blind for a few days, and God just did incredible things in his life and totally changed him from being someone that persecuted the church to someone that was completely surrendered and turned over to Jesus. And God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and their evil spirits left them. You may go, what? Handkerchiefs? There was a televangelist, I don't know if it was 10, 12 years ago. He got on TV and said, I prayed over these handkerchiefs. You send me $40, and I'll send you a handkerchief, and you'll receive healing. He got in all sorts of trouble, not because of that, because people can do that, right? But because he started embezzling money and he was doing it for false gain. The spirit of the Antichrist is prevalent in our generation. The spirit of the Antichrist is real. People are trying to deceive us. May we use the discernment of the Spirit. If you hear me speaking false doctrine, you better confront me. Because people don't believe this for some reason in the church today. You're accountable to God just as much as I am, even though it does say in the scriptures that leadership are accountable. Those passages are for you just as much as for me. You get that? We are all accountable to God. If you're living in a lifestyle contrary to God, and you're asking him to heal you or free you or whatever it is, he's not going to do it. He's calling us out to be holy, a redeemed people, a holy priesthood, a royal nation, a people belonging to God. He is not calling us to be adulterers and fornicators and desires of the flesh are prevalent and have wicked tongues and lying tongues and heathenistic rituals in our lives that we say, oh, they're okay. That is not what God wants for our lives. He wants us to pursue holiness and righteousness and godliness for his name's sake. He doesn't want us to pursue ungodliness. He wants us to pursue him and him alone. Handkerchiefs or aprons. These were not magical objects, but rather the Holy Spirit was pleased to manifest his powerful presence so strongly on Paul that the Spirit's power was even upon handkerchiefs and aprons. Man, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on us. I gotta whisper something to Pam. Yeah, that was weird. That's never happened during a sermon, has it? What if that guy just whispered to her and then she left? I don't know why she needs her purse, but okay, bye. I don't know, maybe. God wants to free us. Because it says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... I'm going to say it one more time. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
Do you want to discover freedom in your life? I am one person. Yes. And then everybody else like, lock lip. We're in New England, Colby, leave me alone. I grew up in New England. So leave me alone. No, but what I'm saying is, it's okay to say amen. Because amen means may it be so. Did you know that? That's what it means. So if you hear something that you agree with, you can say amen. That was pretty good. It was a little random, but okay. I'm going to tell you one last thing. I have experienced powerful healing in my own life, personally. Some of you have heard me share with you. I'm going to share a little different story today about God's healing upon my life personally. When I was a kid, my dad died when I was 6 years old. And my mom, you know, just struggling to get by. She had a 10th grade education. She's probably one of the most talented people I've ever seen in my life. I kid you not. She has severe dyslexia. Amazing woman of faith. She prayed and our bills were paid. I mean, every month I would hear her crying and saying, oh God, please, praying over the checkbook. And Lord, provide me with another job. Just give me something. And all of a sudden, hey, can you come work this and do that? And I'm just like, this is cool. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, your kids don't arrive where they are for no reason. Be an example. Be filled with the Spirit. So my dad died when I was 6. And a lot of stuff took place. I've shared before, but I'm not going to get into detail with that. But what I am going to tell you today is when I was a kid, I got off the school bus. I was about, I think it was second grade. And my mom, for some weird reason, this sounds bizarre, but she befriended people in same-sex relationships. Not women on women, but guys. Homosexual men. And I don't know if it was because she wanted to protect herself or whatever, but she had a lot of friends that were in those types of relationships. And one of them moved into our home. And my mom worked at a hair salon. And this was the owner of the hair salon, and he ended up moving into our house, and he lived in our home. And yeah, you may say, that is bizarre, Colby. That's so weird. This was way before people were coming out of the closet, if you want to say. So my mom was trying to be an example and introduce this guy to Christ and faith and bring him to church and all this stuff, but he wouldn't come. He was a nasty man. He seemed nice, but he was mean. And I remember one day I came home in second grade, and this guy had my mother pinned in the corner, and he was just punching her and kicking her. And I'm in second grade, and I just go, get off my mommy! Get off my mommy! And I start punching and kicking him. And my mother's just screaming and crying. And he goes like this. Boom! And I go flying against the fridge and crack into the fridge and hit my head. And I start crying. And I'm laying on the ground. And he looks at my mother and says, you're such a beeping beep, beep, beep. And then he looked at me and goes, and you're a beeping beep. And I got some strength up, and I got up, and I was dizzy, but he went out the door, and I yelled out to him, you're a jerk! Don't ever come back! And I slammed the door. There's a reason I haven't forgotten that moment. The things that God takes us through can enable us to receive powerful healing but can also enable us to help other people and to minister to other people. And for those that are hurt and in pain and afflicted, when you're going through pain and hurt and sorrow and struggle in your life, God can take it. He can take it. He can take it and he can heal you. And he can restore you. And he can make you whole. You may be broken right now, and he wants to fill you with the power of his Spirit afresh and anew. And as Michael comes up and plays and they come up and sing right now, the words to these songs I want to share some verses before we sing these songs. Psalm 32. Lord, my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions, for our trespasses. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions or trespasses. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and it's by his wounds, it's by his wounds, it's by his atonement. And this is a prophecy that was fulfilled in Jesus. This is the book of Isaiah way before Jesus walked the earth. Did you know he was pierced for our transgressions? He was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and it's by his wounds, it's by his stripes and his nail-pierced feet and his nail-pierced hands that we are healed and forgiven. And we have hope. Where there wasn't any hope, we have hope. Where there wasn't any peace, we have peace. Where there wasn't any joy, we have joy. Where we're in sorrow, we have love. And where there was no compassion, we have compassion. Oh, yes, Jesus. We're going to keep going a little bit. Here's some more. The temple I am going to build will be great because our God is greater than all other gods. Did you hear that? Our God is greater than all other gods. There is no other God that can stand against him. There is no power, no might, no principalities. Nothing can stand against our God. And Psalm 135:5. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. Let's say this last one together. 1 John 3:20. Let's say it together. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. God knows everything. He's omniscient. Let's stand and sing. And before we sing, if you need to receive prayer for healing, in the book of James, it talks about the elders laid hands and anointed with oil, and people were healed. Before you come up, confess and pray to God and receive what he wants for you today. Our God is healer.